Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are down one today. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on the Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney has been called for his civic duty. He's in jury duty today.
Stinking government got him.
Got him. We haven't heard from him, so they've confiscated his cell phone. I think it's protocol that you can't have your cell phone on, or at least have to have it in silent mode, and you probably have to sneak any type of text or step out and call to call anybody. So we actually haven't even heard from him, Lonzo. I'm not certain what's going on
with his
jury duty.
All right, so we believe that's where he is. He could have just ducked out of work today.
Of course.
We don't know.
Well, and here's the thing. Even if he did get called for jury duty, I've been called for jury duty before, and within about 30 minutes, I was excused, but did I tell everybody that I was excused right after 30 minutes? Maybe not. So could GMAC be using the same type of situation that, hey, I just didn't want to come in. I got called for jury duty.
I guess there is a possibility of that. I didn't think about that. I'm guessing he's probably going to be sequestered, and more than likely he will be the foreman. I mean, he's a jury foreman kind of guy, isn't he?
He looks like it.
He does.
He's got wisdom that just exudes off of his face, and his hair is nice and whitish, grayish. So he just has that ability to look like a fatherly figure.
He has fake calm. So everyone's going to believe that he's nice and calm, but he's not really that calm. But still, I mean, he'll end up being the foreman. He'll be over the entire thing. We won't hear from him again until probably this weekend.
Yeah, probably not. Who knows how long he could be sequestered?
Let's hope not. Let's hope we actually hear from him and know that he indeed is there. Luckily, you reminded him of it.
That was on Friday. He completely forgot about it,
yeah.
And he might have been in a situation where, and that's presuming that he did remember it this morning. Who knows? The cops might have come to his house and arrested him for not showing up. For all we know.
So we should take this opportunity to just slam him to pieces, because if he did indeed get dismissed and he's just listening right now on his way home and pretending like he's still there, we could have a lot of fun with that.
Yes, we could have a lot of fun. And there was a lot going on this weekend, and let's jump right into it right now. Well, locally we had a lot of excitement with the South Carolina baseball team making it to the Super Regional and losing game one to Arkansas 9-3, but then bouncing back with a solid performance yesterday, winning 8-5 and forcing a game three. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. this evening on ESPN2. And this is an opportunity for the Carolina baseball team to now advance to the World Series. It's coming down to just one game. This is for all of the marbles. And it was LT Tolbert yesterday that had a fantastic game, hitting a grand slam, and this is how he remembers it.
LT, just kind of maybe describe the surge of adrenaline and emotion when you saw the ball clear the wall, and I'm guessing obviously the biggest hit of your life so far.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of blacked out whenever I was around the bases. I don't even remember what happened, but you know, this is what I've been waiting my whole life for, to play in this moment. That's why I came to South Carolina, and you know, now we're one game away, so it's tomorrow's what we're focused on now.
Well, fortunately, he didn't black out enough that he couldn't round the bases, but it was a huge win for Carolina, and they were up 2-1, and that grand slam puts them up 6-1, and it gives them enough breathing room to hold off Arkansas, because Arkansas did make a run right there.
You know, I'm going to take this moment to remind everyone that I said that, you know, that the Gamecocks would get 2 out of 3. They actually have to win tonight to do that, but
they do.
I believe you and McKinney both said they were done, that they couldn't beat them, especially with the pitching that they had to go up against. And so I'm I don't know, but I'm assuming that they had those two big-time pitchers pitching the first two games, so they got past one of them. So now it will be a lesser guy that they're going against, so that gives them an even better shot to take the game tonight.
It's a huge advantage for South Carolina that they were at least obviously to get one of those games. And as predicted, the first game did go like we thought, with Arkansas dominating the pitching, and unfortunately South Carolina, their pitching just gave up a lot of walks, and it was vice versa for that in game number two, where Arkansas didn't get their performance that they would have expected from their number two pitcher. He gave up a lot of walks and allowed a situation where bases were loaded based on some walks, and LT Tolbert makes them pay for it. And now seeing what South Carolina has been able to do in terms of winning at Arkansas, which a lot of people have not been able to do this season, this is a big deal for South Carolina. And again, not many people thought it was going to be Carolina in this position, and I was obviously one of them. Lonzo, credit to you for being able to pick South Carolina. I think it might have just been a 50-50 pick for you. I'm not sure how much thought you actually put into it.
Aren't most picks 50-50?
No, you got to put some effort into it.
Listen, as I've said many times, I dare to believe, and I believe. Sometimes I dare to believe, and I get smacked in the face, and sometimes it happens. So it's not a matter of I'm just going to pick opposite of what they pick. I dare to believe.
Well, I like your belief, and so does the Carolina fans. Again, I did not think that they would be able to get to the College World Series because Arkansas was just going to be too difficult of a task. And we'll see what happens tonight. They still got an opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong, and it would be great for the state of South Carolina that the Gamecocks could get back to the College World Series. And we saw Justify win the Triple Crown. But the biggest news that we haven't been able to talk about, so we've got to talk about it, and that's the NBA Finals. And that's the Golden State Warriors taking care of Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James and their bid to have this magical upset of the Warriors. And could they be able to have some type of magical run down 0-3? Could they get a win in Game 4 to extend the series? And we know that game would have been tonight, but didn't happen. And it was a situation where I think we felt that it played out very similar to what we talked about on Friday, that Cleveland would be energized, be able to hang there for a little bit, and especially in the first half, but then would just fade away as the game progressed because Golden State was just going to be able to make more shots than Cleveland. And now you can see just the power of what that team is in terms of the firepower, offensive firepower. And it wasn't like that Cleveland was out of the game completely. I mean, they still had an opportunity, and with a minute to go in the second half, they're only down 58-52, but then with 5 seconds to go before halftime, it's that emotional drain that happens. Steph Curry hits a 26-foot shot and puts them up 61-52, and after that, it was game over, Lonzo. They weren't able to rebound after that, going into the third quarter.
I don't know. You know, sometimes I question, does this make me a true fan? Does a true fan stick it out through the entire game, or does a true fan not want to see his team go down and leaves halfway through and goes and does something else? Because that's what I did. You know, halfway.
You left.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, this is over. They can't do this. I don't want to see the end of this. So it doesn't happen very often, and I usually try not to get ruled by emotions when it comes to games. But it was a pretty frustrating series, and it's like, I can't watch this. I know it's going to happen. So I just went in another room and did something else.
Well, you could tell a lot of other Cleveland fans did the same thing. By the beginning of the fourth quarter, the arena started emptying out, and they knew that it was over. The run with LeBron James, at least for this year, is over. Remains to be seen what's going to happen. But when we look at the series overall, and I know it's a sweep, it was 4-0, but in all reality, it was not a complete blowout. And the narrative is going to be that Golden State dominated this series. But let's take a look at game one, where up until the end, Cleveland is right there. I mean, they send it into overtime, and arguably, did the refs change the complexion of that game completely with the overturn call of LeBron James, which was originally called a charge with Kevin Durant, but it was overturned to a block, and Cleveland was up by two at that point, but two free throws by Kevin Durant tie it up, and then we know what happens after that with J.R. Smith and his blunder, and was there a timeout left? Should it have been called? Did J.R. Smith know exactly what the time was? Game two, blowout, and again, just the emotional energy that was wasted in game one. Then game three, with a minute to go, Cleveland's right there. And unfortunately for Cleveland fans, Kevin Durant comes up big. He has a huge game, 43 points, and shoots a dagger with 26 seconds to go from beyond 30 feet, puts him up by six, and it let everything out of the sails for Cleveland at that point.
And can you blame the refs from game one for causing LeBron to break his hand? Because supposedly LeBron played the majority of the season or series with a broken hand because he was so frustrated after game one. Now, what made him punch the whiteboard? Was it the refs or was it JR? Or was it a combination of both?
LeBron James addresses that right here.
What happened? Self-inflicted. Post game after game one, very emotional. For a lot of different reasons, understanding how important a game one is on the road for our ball club. What would that have done for us? The way we played, the calls that was made throughout the course of that game. And I had emotions on, the game was taken away from us. I had emotions of you just don't get an opportunity like this on the road versus Golden State to be able to get a game one. And, I let the emotions get the best of me and pretty much played the last three games with a broken hand. So that's what it is.
So letting a situation where the game was taken away from him. So to your point, Lonzo, yes, there might have been an aspect of the frustration with J.R. Smith, but we know J.R. Smith is his boy, and he's going to defend J.R. Smith even if he's upset with him. But I think when you drill it down, you can hear it, the frustration in his voice, that it was more that he feels that there was a call that changed the complexion of the game, and it was taken away from him, and that's directly right to the refs.
And you know what? I know the haters are like, look, LeBron is making excuses for it, but he still had a killer series even with a broken hand. But what this says to me is that he thought they had a chance to win this series, and he was so emotionally involved in doing so that he punched the whiteboard. I mean, everyone's been mad enough to punch something. If he was more concerned with, well, we'll see where I'm moving to next year, would he have been passionate enough to do that? No, I don't think so. I think he legitimately thought they had a shot at it. And, the results of game one were different. Maybe they did.
And that's why I think he was so frustrated, and because he feels that the game was taken away from him because of the importance of game one. He needed to be able to set the tone with Golden State, and if they walk away with a victory in game one, then all of a sudden the tone is completely different. The backs are against the wall for the Golden State Warriors because now all of a sudden they have lost home court advantage, and nobody was giving Cleveland any type of chance to be able to take game one, and even not even being able to obviously take the series. So the importance of game one weighed so heavily on LeBron James, and we know he expended so much energy into that game and being able to be in that position so close to having Cleveland steal game one from Golden State, and he knew the importance of that. He put everything into it, so he was obviously extremely frustrated, and we haven't seen a situation where we've heard of LeBron James punching a blackboard, and maybe he has in the past, but I think it was just a magnification of everything involved in knowing that that might have been his one shot to change the complexion of the series, and it slipped away, and it could have been slipping away just based on a call by one ref. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. And let's jump to the phone lines right now with Jimmy, wants to talk NBA.
Jimmy, hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. What you got today, sir?
All right. Well, if you put the whole thing aside about J.R. Smith not making a good decision, and as far as that charging or blocking foul, I think two different referees had two different calls. That's the reason they went to the monitor. I saw the replay. LeBron was moving. He put his shoulder into Steph Curry. It was definitely a charging call. So, you know, I don't want to hear the broken hand crap because LeBron played a great ball after the first game. That's why I thought that he was going to put up 50 to 60 points in his last game probably at Cleveland. And I think you should get some credit to Golden State and the coach, Steve Kerr, because he trapped LeBron James in the next three games after him scoring 51 points. JaVale McGee, he just stuffed the ball in LeBron's face this one time. I mean, LeBron took it to the hoop kind of weak. I mean, so, you know, I don't want to hear about the broken hand. He was playing really good ball after the first game up till that last game, the fourth game. So, yeah, I'd say LeBron – I was giving him some credit for that fourth game that he had been playing really well. That's why I thought he was going to go out and score 50 to 60 points. So, he really tarnished his legacy, in my opinion, the way he played in that fourth game and then come out with a broken hand after the game. I mean, isn't there a rule in the NBA that you have to report an injury? Doesn't the team aren't the teams supposed to report injuries to their players?
No, they're not. It's not like the NFL, so it's completely different. They do not have to disclose any type of injuries.
Well, as far as the first game, they went into OT, Cleveland just didn't show up in the OT. Yeah, J.R. Smith screwed up, but they shouldn't have taken their head out of the game because of one bad play by J.R. Smith, and Golden State put their foot on the throttle and, closed it out in that first game in overtime. So.
Jimmy, thank you for the call, sir, and I don't think Cleveland gave up. Game one and game three, they're in the games.
It's one of the haters I was talking about right there. Yeah.
Cleveland just ran into a buzzsaw called the Golden State Warriors, who have a much better team, a more complete team, a better coach, and they got the advantage of a call that was reversed, and that was a significant call that was reversed, regardless of what you believe, if it was a charge or a block. It's easy to call it a block when you go to a monitor and see it in slow motion, but live action, full speed, game speed at the moment, that's a charge. And the ref called it that way, and then it was changed. So to be able to say that Cleveland gave up, I don't think they necessarily gave up. I just think Golden State is that much better of a team because, again, game one, they took them to overtime. Game three, they actually had an opportunity down by one with about a minute and a half to go until Kevin Durant basically takes over. So it's not a situation where Cleveland gave up at that moment. We'll continue this conversation right here on The Huddle, ESPN Upstate, back right after this. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on Monday, June 11th. Greg McKinney is on jury duty, so we'll keep you updated in terms of what happens with his situation, if he's actually going to be sequestered into jury duty for the entire week or what the scenarios might be. And right now, college baseball is still going on in the Austin Super Regional. We've got Tennessee Tech and Texas playing right now. It's the bottom of the second, 0-0. And again, South Carolina plays Arkansas tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. And we've obviously been talking a lot about the NBA, and we've got Jerry on the line right now. He wants to jump in and share his thoughts on the NBA. Jerry, what's your thoughts on LeBron James and the NBA Finals?
How y'all doing, man? Hadn't talked to you guys in a while. Hope you're doing okay. Well, I guess one thing I want to talk about was everyone should get ready to hear LeBron James this and that all summer. But the thing I wanted to talk about really quick was the last caller said that he believed that he tarnished his legacy with Game 4. I think Lonzo will agree with this. I think everybody's about to open their mouth right now about the hand thing and all that stuff. I kind of wish he'd have kept it to himself, because now we're gonna hear everything out of the woodworks about LeBron this and LeBron that. But to be honest, I think he possibly helped his legacy when you add in all of the factors. Look at the numbers he put up this series versus a very formidable team, the Warriors, that have so many superstars. I think with the teammates that he had, being able to at least challenge them in several games, several games could have been put a different way. Obviously they weren't, so it doesn't really matter. But I just don't think he really tarnished his legacy just over Game 4, and definitely not over the series, because I believe he had a great series, and I believe that this thing could have went a little bit differently. But that's just how it came out. But I believe he actually helped himself a little bit to show that, hey, in all situations, I'm still LeBron, and I'm still the greatest, no matter what. Because, look at what I'm able to achieve and what's happening to be thrown at me to be able to, become the Warriors to win. So I'll leave it at that, and hopefully we'll look forward to a full season of LeBron talk of where he's going, where he's not going. So, well, you guys have a good day, man. Until next time.
Thank you, Jerry. Greatly appreciate that. And one thing we know for sure, what Jerry is talking about, is that he's correct when he states that there's going to be a lot of chatter talking about now what happens with LeBron James. What is the decision part two? What is he going to do? Or maybe this is the decision part three in reference to, is he going to decide to stay in Cleveland or head off to so-called quote-unquote greener pastures to a better opportunity? But in terms of his legacy, I don't think he necessarily helped his legacy. His legacy is what it is. It definitely didn't tarnish it, though. It's a situation where what LeBron James was able to do with this team to get them to the NBA Finals, that just supplanted just continuing just the legacy itself. But just because he got swept doesn't mean that should tarnish his legacy whatsoever, because these were competitive games except Game 2 and Game 4.
You know what? I'm not going to slam Jimmy, because Jimmy's consistent and he pretty much lets you know how he feels about LeBron. But I definitely disagree with him, and I agree with Jerry. I think this helps his legacy, the fact that he was able to do what he was able to do after breaking his hand. Not only that, but the fact that he broke his hand. And why did he break his hand? Because he was so passionate about the game and about that loss, and he wasn't looking ahead. Like I said earlier, he wasn't looking ahead to where he's going to play next. He was more focused on what he was doing at that moment and what he knows he lost and why he lost it. And it wasn't because of him. It's not whining. The referees changed the call. JR did something stupid. They lost a game. And it really did. It put a cloud of whatever over the entire series. And I also agree with something that Jerry said, the fact that this should help LeBron's legacy because of how well he did against this cast of superstars with who he had on his team, and the fact that everyone's all, KD's the new GOAT, he's the new everything. Well, I'm sorry, they may have slowed LeBron down, or LeBron slowed himself down by hurting himself, but they didn't stop LeBron. And for the most part, even with the blowout in Game 2, we've seen them blow teams out by a whole lot more than that. So it was a lot closer. And all these people who said that Cleveland couldn't compete, they competed. They did. And you put one more, they don't have to be a superstar, but one more star on Cleveland's team, they won a couple games, maybe had a chance to win the series.
And it could have been a completely different story. And
you could have said Kyrie, but let's face it, Kyrie can't stay healthy.
So he can't.
It would have had to have been somebody else.
And the one guy who
has... different team, same story, hurt out.
Yeah. And the one guy who has been able to stay healthy for his 15-year career has been LeBron James. So for this type of injury, this is kind of rare air, so to speak, in terms of him actually having some type of injury that did impact his game. And what type of impact did that actually have? Here's Brian Windhorst talking about LeBron's broken hand.
LeBron James has been playing the last three games with a serious right hand injury that he suffered after punching a blackboard in the locker room in Golden State following game one. He's had to have two MRIs on the hand. He's been in a soft cast when he's been away from the media and away from practice, hasn't been practicing. If we go back and look, I'm told during press conferences, including after game three, he's had his arm tucked in. And he didn't, you know, he's not using it now. He's, you know, he's certainly not letting it out now or anything because he wants there to be an excuse for how he played. They just kept it very tight because he didn't want the Warriors to have an advantage of knowledge. But game one, as it turns out, was costly, not just on the court, but off the court. And you can see it now when you look back at these last three games, just 5 of 19 shooting outside 10 feet. Tonight, as an example, he didn't even really shoot from the outside, just completely drove to the basket, also dealing with an ankle injury and stuff. But LeBron James' right-hand injury severely hampered him the last few games.
There's no doubt about it. The injury to his hand affected him. Now that you have this information, I think it would have been advantageous for LeBron to actually let people know that he did have a hand injury. He could have had some type of protective padding on it because, you know, of course, the team would have gone after trying to hit his hand, not necessarily intentionally, but anytime he was holding
your
the ball.
Your boy Draymond would have been grabbing that hand all over the place.
Yes, anytime there was an opportunity, they would. And maybe they were doing it throughout the rest of the series, but they weren't really making a special attention to it. But those guys get hit all the time. But I think it would have been advantageous for LeBron to actually come out and say that. Could that have been a rallying cry also for Cleveland, that even more so than, you know, what they needed? But there's no doubt that this had an impact in LeBron. And even when you look at the numbers, he still had proficiency, but with the exception of he obviously showed a difference in the extension of how far he could shoot outside. And obviously now we know that it had something to do with his right hand due to the fact that, again, going back to the situation that he knew how important game was, that they needed to get that game or they were going to be in serious trouble because they needed to set the tone and be able to put the backs against the wall for the Golden State Warriors, knowing that they could have come in there and shifted home court advantage. Now, who also set the tone? That was a call on Saturday to have history in the Triple Crown. That's next, right here on ESPN Upstate. It's The Huddle, Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here. G-Mac is on jury duty, so we're running through the weekend of events and obviously talking a lot of the NBA Finals. And if you want to jump in, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Also, jump in on the text line. That's 71307. And make sure you use the keyword ESPN at the beginning of your text so we know that it's you. And if you're traveling outside of the upstate, you can always make sure to catch ESPN Upstate. Just go to radio.com, and also on your mobile phone, you can download the radio.com app. And in the search menu, you can actually type in ESPN Upstate, and you can be able to make sure to listen anywhere in the country through the radio.com app. That's another way to keep up with the current news here and current shows on ESPN Upstate. And one of the things that we saw this weekend, in addition to Friday night with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers getting swept by Golden State, was also on Saturday at the Belmont Stakes. We had Justify creating something very special. Only has it been done 13 times in horse racing, and that's winning the Triple Crown. And here's the call of that historical moment.
And Gronkowski has cut the corner, and they're into the stretch. And Justify comes roaring home to a raucous Belmont Park with one furlong to run. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vito Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Gronkowski was second, Hofberg was third, and Vito Rosso was fourth. Justify has done it.
I was just hoping that we could have some type of NBA Finals game that would end in that type of fashion to win the NBA championship. That is one of the best calls that I've heard in horse racing and all of sports lately, other than the NHL with the Washington Capitals. Also, what you saw that they were able to do, getting their first Stanley Cup Finals victory over Las Vegas Golden Knights last week. But Lonzo, I don't know if you watched the race. I don't know how much you were following the Belmont Stakes. This was the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes, and history was on the line. And I know we talked about it last week because we don't get to talk about horse racing that much, but it was a monumental feat.
You know, I forgot. I got to admit, I forgot all about it. I was doing show prep for my other show, and Patrick Brown said he did it, and I look and. And when he said he did it, because he just happened to look up at the screen, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I was like, man, I forgot all about that. So
you missed on laying down a bet.
Well, I wouldn't have done that anyway. Okay. But still, I wouldn't know where to go do such a thing. I'm sure there's some other people in the building who could tell me if I wanted to.
I would imagine
know.
So. And you never know. Soon it might be legal that you can find someplace right here in South Carolina.
Very, very true. So, I was disappointed that I missed it because it's – history-making a sporting event. I love to see those, whether I'm happy with the result or not. In this case, I thought he was going to do it. I think everyone thought he was going to do it, so it wasn't a shock. Did you watch it, though?
I did not watch it live, unfortunately. Same situation.
How much did he win by? I mean, was it a couple links or was it close?
No, it was... It's a great question in terms of what's considered close in horse racing and what's not considered close. And I think he ended up winning by one and three-fourths lengths during the race. So, again, I don't know if that's considered a blowout or is that a relatively close type of race. But he took the lead from the very beginning and never relinquished it. He was in the first spot, and Mike Smith is the jockey, 52 years old. So that's his first time being able to get a win or help get a win for the Triple Crown. So another accomplishment for a jockey who's very well experienced at 52 years old. So you have to admire that. It came
into
situation.
I wonder, how old do jockeys usually go? I mean, I've never really thought about that before. The jockeys always seem to be kind of old anyway. Yeah. When you
at
see
52,
him?
He's the oldest jockey to win the Triple Crown.
Okay.
So I would imagine that 52 has got to be on the tail end of a jockey's career. As much as it seems easy, they're sitting on a horse. I think there is a little bit of demand physically, in terms of, I've seen guys get thrown off, and you can't be frail and up in age, you know, from that perspective.
So, if some people consider horses athletes, I do not. What is the jockey? Is a jockey an athlete?
No, unfortunately, I don't consider either.
If you consider a horse an athlete, if you're one of the people who consider a horse, I consider a horse, by the way, of course. But. Sorry,
Mr. Ed.
You're obligated to do that. So what is a jockey? Is a jockey an athlete? What is a jockey? I don't know.
I think...
Text line 71307, is jockey an athlete? Because I don't think they are, but if they aren't and the horse is an athlete, then what is the jockey to the
All right,
athlete?
We've got to get that up on the ESPN Upstate Twitter poll. We need to do that. That's a good one. And you can text us 71307, as Lonzo mentioned. Make sure you use the keyword ESPN, and also 844-477-3776.
I'm glad Greg's not here, because he would do another, "That's the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life," because it confounds him and his brain. He still hasn't figured me out after almost 4 years or whatever.
Yeah, but is he a small thinker then?
Ooh, no. That's not it. I think sometimes my mouth doesn't work the way my brain tells it to. But in this case, I think it's a legitimately good question, because I don't know. I don't know if a jockey's
I don't know how people would identify it, especially if you're saying that the horse is an athlete. So is the jockey an athlete? So is it two athletes that are winning the Triple Crown or winning a race?
Are they a team?
Yes. Is it a team? Teammates?
I guess.
Well, I think you probably have to say yes, that to a certain degree they're teammates. But once you say teammates, Lonzo, then I think you're stepping into the boundaries of you're calling them athletes.
You're calling both of them athletes.
Yes.
Exactly.
So as much as you're saying that you're not calling a horse an athlete, but if you call them teammates, I think inherently you are calling them a horse an athlete. We'll continue this discussion right here on The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. Richmond Weaver and Lonzo continuing here on The Huddle. Greg McKinney is out on jury duty, and we just had a scientific research poll.
It was a poll, yeah.
It was a poll. So, I mean, it's legitimate.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
It was double-blinded, placebo, everything.
Well,
maybe not that much.
It wasn't that much, yeah.
Share your results of what we were talking about, Lonzo, in terms of can you classify a jockey as an athlete and or a horse as an athlete?
Well, I didn't ask about the horse, but I did ask about the jockey. I asked a couple guys in the hallway, some seasoned veterans of the radio business, all over 60. I asked the white hairs, because that's what you do. That's where the wisdom is, supposedly.
Wisdom, that's right.
I mean, they may not be smarter than everybody else, but they were smart enough to make it to be white hairs. That makes them have some wisdom, and they all had said 100% that a jockey is an athlete. As I was also told, have you ever tried to hold on to a horse when it's, you know, galloping as fast as it can go? And I guess that makes sense. You would have to be an athlete to hold on. Do jockeys work out though? Or is just riding a horse a workout? I got to be honest.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I've never ridden a horse before.
Okay. I have ridden a horse, but I've never been in a situation where the horse was galloping or running at full speed. I've been on a horse where even they're just trotting, and it's very difficult to hold onto a horse. Now, some have said that actually it's easier once you get in the motion of them actually running than the trotting. But you're talking about a horse that could be potentially running 40, 45 miles per hour, and you're holding on. And in a car, 45 miles per hour, that doesn't sound too fast. On a motorcycle or jet ski, you're on water. That's a whole different type of story when you have no protection. And then, so now you just have these reins to hold on to, and that's it. That is a difficult challenge, at least in my book, because I don't know if I could do it.
I always put things in football terms. So I'm just picturing jockeys running the 40 and trying to bench 250, and I just don't see that happening. But, you know,
no, they're
again,
small.
They are very small. And one of the guys who pointed this out is a very short man. So he would know all about that. I'm not going to say his name, but he's very short, and his initials are Bob McLean. So he knows all about that. And it's a great point. They would have to be in extreme shape to hang on. But I think it's harder for a bigger guy to hang on than a smaller guy, probably.
I would think that's obvious as well. And you also have to remember, at times, they're holding on with one hand.
Yeah, because they're using the other hand to...
Yes, and I can't remember what the term of that instrument is.
They're urging the horse to go faster with something that looks like a stick. It's
yes.
not a stick, but it looks like a stick.
It's not a stick, and I'll have to see if we can find out
or something. I don't know
exactly what the terminology of that is, and a lot of people even question that. Is it inhumane to be able to hit the horse like that. But we know Justify was able to make history, becoming the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown at the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes. So congratulations to Justify. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on the Huddle ESPN Upstate, 844-477-3776. Back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.